This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. I am joined down the line right now by official friend of the show. That's what we call him, Stephen Butler. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm very proud to be an official friend of the show.
I do have I have strict qualifications for it. You've passed all the tests, so don't worry. which is great because you're back and you've brought an awesome, like, seasonal appropriate book with you. The Nothing to See Here Hotel has got a fourth book out in the series, Fiend of the Seven Sewers. And it's such an amazing book. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's the fourth instalment. And it's a big one. It's a big fatty. It's about twice the size of book one. So there's plenty of adventure going on. But yes, it's the first. It's quite a spooky one. It takes quite a scary turn, this book. And it's the first time that we leave the hotel. We see some other magical locations. We actually step outside of the Nothing to See Here Hotel.
Well, I was going to say this to you because it is, well, first of all, you're right. It is a big, but it's much bigger than the first one. I remember reading that one. And this one, I was like, wow, yeah. he's really enjoying himself. But also the world has expanded. You're right. You're really kind of extending, even to the point where there's a little map at the front there just to prove where everything is in the world. That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a massive fan of maps at the beginning of books. When I was a little boy, it was one of my favourite things to be able to kind of plot where the story was going. So I insisted that this book had a map at the beginning of it. I got a family tree at the beginning of the last two. And I was like, now I want a map as well.
Did you send your orders to Stephen Lenton? Were you like, yes, I want all of these things, please?
Absolutely. I sent very strict instructions.
So in this world that you've expanded, Frankie, I don't want to ruin it too much, but Frankie has kind of been, he's been kidnapped, hasn't he? And he's gone to another part of his world.
Yes. I mean, it's okay. Without giving too much away. Frankie, right at the beginning of the book, it gets going quite quickly. Frankie is kidnapped from the Nothing to See Here Hotel and taken on quite a long journey to a city in the sewers. And yes, there's some pretty scary people waiting to meet him when he gets there. I won't give too much away.
Mm-hmm. In the book as well, because I do love the hotel, because I grew up, my parents run a hotel, so I do love this series just because it makes me think of that. It must have been quite fun, though, just to create more monsters as well, and there's more creatures in this book than ever before.
Yes, I mean, there's all the old favourites. You know, I'm slightly in love with the characters from the hotel, so I didn't want to get rid of any. But there's plenty of new... there's plenty of new people, good guys and bad guys. So there are new people to love and there are new people to hate. And there's even a giant crocodile called Doris. Because what book is complete without a giant crocodile called Doris?
Well, finally, someone said what I've been thinking for the last 5 years, Stephen. Finally, you've done it. You've also got, is it Cudlump as well, the creature?
Yeah, her name's Biddy Morky, and she's a Cudlump, which is this enormous... They were the dinner ladies of the Dark Ages, so these enormous, big, cuddly, lovely things, and whole villages would go and have picnics on their bellies in the Dark Ages.
I read that bit with her, and I was like, oh, I want a Cudlump in my life. You could make a lot of marketing from this. If you got some cuddly toys going, I think there'd be a lot of people buying them.
Yeah. I want a Cudlump, definitely.
It's so awesome. And so you mentioned as well, you've got such amazing illustrations in the book. You've also got a competition winner as well, if we can look out for that too. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I think it's really important to keep kids engaged. I know that, you know, I was a really reluctant reader when I was a little boy. And so anything to catch kids' attention. So we did a competition before this book came out. Where kids could design a creature that would feature somewhere in the book. And so it becomes like a bit of a Where's Wally where you have to find it. But yes, and then obviously they get their fabulous creature drawn by the amazing Stephen Lenton, who does all the illustrations. And there's actually, we've got more competitions coming up on our, if you get on our Twitter feeds, if you keep an eye on Twitter, we've got more Halloween competitions coming as well. So yeah, we like to keep busy.
Well, I did notice at the end of the book, again, I won't ruin it, but it does feel very much like you've set it up for another adventure. Are we saying this is a series that's going to go on for a little bit longer?
Oh, I certainly hope so. I'm actually writing another, a totally different scary book for Simon & Schuster at the moment that will be out for next Halloween about theatre ghosts. But I can't tell you too much, but yes, it's about theatre ghosts. But I certainly would love to return. Yes, I deliberately left it on a very big cliffhanger. So I would definitely love to go back and finish the adventure for the Nothing to See Here Hotel. I'm always thinking ahead.
Well, that's no, it's great. You must be their go-to guy for Halloween and for scary stories then.
Well, I don't know, really. It was never intended. It just kind of happened. The theatre ghost book was something I've been planning to write for years and years. It's been on my shelf for, it must be nearly 10 years.
Wow.
And finally, we just grabbed the opportunity to go for it. So, yes, it's certainly not the end of the hotel, but we're just pausing for a minute while I write my scary ghost story.
Oh, man, I do love a theatre ghost. I am absolutely, yeah. Like, Drury Lane and everything like that. I'm fascinated by it, so I'll be...
Yeah, exactly, me too.
So in this book for Frankie, it's another big adventure, and he's just such a cool dude, isn't he? He just seems really nice, just making friends wherever he goes, and also pretty brave.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Frankie is kind of everything that I'm not, I suppose, as a writer. I love the fact that Frankie really rolls with the punches, and he is very brave, and he's always quite resourceful, where I think me as Stephen would be lying on the floor crying. And yeah, it's just a really exciting, I really wanted to take Frankie about, and I love dropping little Easter eggs in other books. So he goes to the city of Gradibash in this book, and actually it's mentioned in the book before. I always get a little something in, so it just ties in, and you can go back and look through the books and go, oh yeah, I saw that in that bit. So yes, if you go back through Seeing is Believing, which is the third book, you can find mention of the city of Gradibash, which is a city in the sewers. So it's in there somewhere.
Oh, that's really fun. I mean, as we've said, this is the fourth book in the series. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to have read the first three, but I guess it does help, doesn't it?
It certainly helps just in knowing the characters. But it's quite nice because it's in first person. Frankie kind of catches you up as you go along anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you can. I mean, I would love it if you start a book one and go all the way through, but there's nothing to stop you grabbing one that takes your fancy.
And just seeing what happens next. Now,
yes,
Stephen, I'm so sorry about this, but I'm going to have to apologise. I've made a mini quiz. I always make a quiz for you. And
oh, I love the quiz. I love the quizzes.
I feel bad that I'm just forcing you into a quiz again. But seeing as you've mentioned you are kind of the king of Halloween, I thought I'd just do a mini Halloween quiz with you, if that's all right.
Fabulous. Go for it.
I mean, this is basically Halloween now. So I'm going to start you off super duper easy. I mean, if you don't get this, then I'm going to be cross. First of all, what date is Halloween?
The 31st of October.
Smashed it. Straight. Great way. Good.
I had to really think then.
Oh, we're going to have fun with the rest of them then. Before pumpkins were carved, what other vegetable was used?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know, but I would guess something big and maybe marrow?
Oh, close. I might be able to give you that. It's a turnip. So, yeah, pretty close, really. Same thing, yeah.
Root vegetable-y.
A root vegetable, yeah. As long as you didn't say, like, you know, tomato, we'd be fine. Which country celebrates Day of the Dead instead of Halloween?
Ah, Mexico.
Yes.
So if you came to my flat is covered in Day of the Dead skulls. I'm obsessed with the Mexican Day of the Dead, so I know that one. That one's easy.
Oh, Rick, just a side question then. Did you watch Coco?
Do you know what? I watched it maybe 3 or 4 days ago and cried. So, yeah, I love that film. Yes, I did. I watched it in bed like a grandma.
It's so good, though. I get the crying thing. I've watched it a few times, and every time I cry is if I expect something different to happen every time.
Yeah.
Never does. Can you name a traditional Halloween food?
Ooh, toffee apples. And generally apples, like apple bobbing, I know is quite a traditional Halloween thing.
Stephen, the next question I was going to ask you was, what do you bob for at Halloween parties? So you get an extra point because you've actually answered a question before I've asked it.
And,
pretty impressive.
And roast bat. Yeah, we always, in the Butler household, we always eat roast bat at Halloween.
Okay, I'll give you that. Do you know where bobbing apples came from, where it originated?
I think generally all of these are American pastimes, aren't they? Was it the US? Did it start over there?
Well, you would think so, but according to my research, and by that I mean Google, ancient Rome.
Oh, did not know that. There you go. I learned something new.
I mean, I didn't know that until I Googled it. And finally, can you name me a famous vampire or famous monster?
Oh, yeah. Famous vampire, famous monster. Well, there's obviously Dracula, Frankenstein. Interesting fact for you. This is completely random. But did you know, I didn't know this, that the actress who played the Bride of Frankenstein in the old horror movie with the big hair was Katie Nanna in the Mary Poppins film?
Oh, no, that's a great fact.
Yeah, the scary nanny at the beginning of the film that walks out and leaves them is the Bride of Frankenstein. There you are.
Well, I feel like you've taught me something there as well, Stephen.
I know.
That was incredible. You passed my Halloween test, obviously, with flying orange and black colours. So thank you very much for that. So we should say to everybody, Nothing to See Here Hotel, Fiend of the Seven Sewers, is out right now. Is that correct?
Yes, it's already out. So you can go and grab it.
Brilliant stuff. And thank you so much for chatting to us, Stephen.
Not at all. Thank you.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.